Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hey, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1, speaking on sonship. Paul writes, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace or an empowerment or the working of his power to you because of his presence and the peace, the oneness with God from our Father. We give thanks to you, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. John said the reason that one of the ways you know that you've came out of darkness into his marvelous light is you love. And it's not just human love. The love he's talking about here is I love you whether you love me or not. Amen. Folks just need to get used to it. God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. He says, we give thanks to you for you because of the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven, you've previously heard in the word of truth, which is the gospel, which has come to you just as it is in all the world. It also is constantly bearing fruit. Everybody say constantly. Constantly bearing fruit. How many know anything God's involved with is constantly bearing fruit? Right? Constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as in you, since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth. So he ties your personal growth, and he even later on brings it out in calling it being supplied by the head. He ties the constant increase in bearing of fruit to your individual growth. Can you see that? Since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth. And he also mentions Epaphras, which also informed of him of their love in the Spirit. He says, for this reason also, since the day we did hear, we've not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with completely the revelation of his will. Let me ask you, do you pray these things over yourself? If Paul prayed these over them, then we should at least be praying them over ourselves, right? I challenge you to go through your New Testament and find every prayer that Paul prayed, write it down, and then pray those over you. Be filled with the revelation of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, and here we are. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing, that's in the present tense, which means constantly increasing, in the revelation that belongs to him. So I want you to, we're going to focus on verse 10. It's interesting that Paul mentions, if not in every chapter, just about every chapter, the concept of walking. It's literally in every single chapter that I know of. So, what does that mean? When he talks about walking, what does he mean? Well, let me just give you this picture for you to think about. He also, in this letter, says, talks about the head, but he also talks about you as the body. Is there ever a time when the body just removes the head, sets it aside, and goes and walks and does its own thing? That's right, only on TV. Which, anyway, don't get me started there. So he talks about the church being the body and Christ being the head, and he talks about growing up into the head and receiving that which the head is supplying. But I want you to picture this, that if Jesus is the head and the church is the body just sitting down? Okay, so many times when we talk about walking, what we picture is sitting on the couch with our Bible and our concordance open and we're spending time with them in the morning. But that's not really the picture that Paul's talking about in this letter. Because the body is always moving. The body is connected to the head. The body is always moving. It's not a picture of us spending time with them in the mornings. And I've talked about that too, you know, we want to spend time with him. But how many know when you're living life out there, you're spending time with him? You don't have to be sitting on a couch with your devotional open to be spending time with him, right? So he says, the reason that he's praying for them that they be completely filled with the revelation of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding is so that they will walk, everybody say walk, in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in, constantly increasing in. As you're walking and you're bearing fruit, you're constantly increasing in the revelation that he has. Let's look at some of the other verses that he talks about. Go to chapter 2 and look at verse 6. Verse 6. That was chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 6, says this, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. In the same manner that you've received him, walk in him. And he tells you exactly in verse 7, having been firmly rooted. But say, I'm firmly rooted. I'm firmly rooted in him, and I'm constantly being built up, and I'm constantly being established. So as you received him in the same manner, you walk in him. In the previous verse, in verse 5, he says that life in him is a life full of good discipline and stability, not instability. And we said this last week that the more individuals you let get between you and him, the more thinking of man that you let get between you and him, the less stable you become. So now go to chapter 3, verse 7. 3, verse 7 says, it talks about your old life. It says, in your old life, you also once walked when you were living in them and the things he's talking about is what he previously mentioned. He actually mentions in verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech with your mouth. But notice what he talked, he calls walking living in something. Again, this is not just a place on your couch in the morning when you spend time with them. This is living in something. So walking is living in something. So now go over to chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. He says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Verse 6, he says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you'll know how you should respond to each person. Now, here's what I want you to picture. Walking is living in something. If you're the body, you're connected to the head. At no time do we disconnect the head, set it down, and go live our life. Right? You're connected. So you're living under the influence of something else. Right? So back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. His desire is that we be filled with the revelation that belongs to Father so that we'll walk in a manner that's worthy of Him, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. And as we're doing that, we're actually increasing in revelation of what He knows. Because He's teaching us. Everybody say OJT. There are just things, folks, that you're just not going to learn from Him and about Him by sitting down on the couch. There's things that you're not going to learn from Him and about Him by getting it from somebody else on a DVD, TV, anything like that. There's a lot you're just not going to learn from Him getting it by a surrogate. Right? You're going to get it straight from Him. Because He's the head, you're the body, you don't disconnect Him and put something else on. He wants you to grow up into Him. All those things are fine, but they're not Him. So, when we're talking about walking, He says, I want you to be filled with the revelation that He has so that you'll walk in a manner, or you'll live in a manner worthy of Him and pleasing Him in all respects and bearing fruit. And then it's a constant cycle. Because the whole environment of Him is bringing you into a place of being stable, being strengthened. I mean, look at verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. If you get in situations, you find yourself in environments where that's the last thing that's there, is you're not finding that you're having patience, you're not finding that you're steadfast, you're not finding that you're being strengthened, then look what you're hooked up to. Check that first. Because this is what comes when you're connected with Him. If it's not coming, then check and see who's standing between you and Him. Or what's standing between you and Him. What are you hooking up to? Right? Okay. So, notice what Paul says here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. My desire this morning is that this will plant a seed in you and you'll pursue this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Look what Paul says. At my first defense, no one supported me. How many of you felt like that? The whole world sucks. And you feel like you're all by yourself. He says, at my first offense, nobody supported me. But they all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. When was the last time you prayed that over somebody? Y'all deserted me. May it not be counted against you. And then he says this, but the Lord, if I say but the Lord, verse 17, stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me. He will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. But he saw, what I'm trying to get you to see here is, notice how he talks about the Lord. The Lord's not out there someplace. Is He that real to you? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He's talking about Him like He's right there. He has delivered me and He will deliver me. See, what we're talking about this morning is when it comes to walking, it's something you live in. But understand that if you get a visual picture of it, if it helps you, every place you are, He's right there. living life with a high awareness of His ever-present presence. Everybody say that. Living life with a high awareness of His ever-present presence. Did you guys say that? I can't hear you. All I hear is me. Okay. Notice this. Psalms 42, verse 5 and 6. You can just write this verse down, unless it's on the magic screen. Psalms 42, 5 and 6. It says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me?" Anybody ever lived here? Y'all lie. He says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence." For the help of His presence. "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me, therefore I remember You." Notice that the writer that wrote this had a high awareness of His presence. Can you see that? See, when things aren't going good and stuff is happening, where are we living? Are we living plugged into the head with a high awareness of His presence, or are we living plugged into whatever else is around us? Isaiah 63:9, he says this, "In all their affliction..." Now look, go there, get the Isaiah 63:9. Look at this. I want you to see this either on the screen or in your Bible. Isaiah 63:9. It says, "In all their affliction, He was afflicted." Who's the He? Who's the He? "And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His mercy He redeemed them. And He lifted them and carried them all of the days of old." So what you need to understand is when you're going through stuff, He's not disconnected and unconcerned. He's going through the same thing with you. Right? That's why Jesus told Saul when He stopped him on the road to Damascus, He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my people?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" You know, it's amazing. I heard a story, a direct account of I don't know if he was an Iraqi citizen or an Iranian citizen, I don't remember, but he was from the Middle East and he was a Christian and he was speaking about one of the times where he was being tortured because of his faith in the Lord. And he said, you know, they were taking their cigarettes and they were sticking them into my skin. And he showed you the burn marks on him. And he said, but the most amazing thing happened is while they're doing that, I saw the Lord and He just came up to me and He just embraced me and hugged me the whole time. See, we need to understand, folks, that as busy as life can get, if it's so busy that you're more aware of it than you're aware of Him, then you're too busy. Because we're supposed to have an awareness of living in Him, not living life out there in the world. He says, "In all their affliction, He was afflicted." The New Testament says that Jesus has been tried, persecuted in any way you are, and He knows exactly where you're coming from. But the angel of His presence, say the angel of His presence, saved them. It's interesting, Paul mentions in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, I believe it is, that he talks about the new era, after the resurrection of Jesus, that we're in a new era, and it's the restoration of all things. And the result of this whole era, the new era of the restoration of all things, comes from the refreshing that comes from His presence. There's a refreshing in His presence. I got to tell you, I was raised in church my whole life. And nobody ever talked to me about the presence of the Lord. It was always about what you can do for Him. But let me ask you, how worthless is it to be doing things for somebody you don't even know anything about? Yeah. We got religions all over the world doing that. They're doing things for a God they don't even know. Because if they knew, they'd run away. So it's when I first started reading the gospel, actually reading it, and seeing that every time you turn around, they're talking about the presence of the Lord, the presence of Him, the presence of God. And I was like, why didn't anybody ever talk to me about the presence of Him when I was growing up in church? Because the first chance I got to leave church, I left. I got the whole dying on the cross thing, thanks. But they never really connected me with a person, because He's up there now somewhere. But I'm telling you, folks, we need to have a reality of, if I could say it this way, part of being a son or a daughter is cultivating a high awareness of Him. You know, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, on the flip side of this, all those that reject Him here, they'll never get to spend any time in His presence forever, ever. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says they'll pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Well, then if they're going to spend eternity away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power, then flip that 180 degrees, you as His son or daughter, this is where you're supposed to live in. Right? In the presence of Him and the glory of His power. So, going back to Colossians, he says his prayer is for them to live in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects, and increasing in the knowledge that He has. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. See, it's important that we remove this idea of walking from just you spending time in a chair at a table or on a couch with your devotion open. Is that important? Yeah, it is. But that's about maybe an hour of your life, if it's even that long. Because if that's the only thing that we know, then you have a very low awareness of His presence when you're out living life. And so therefore, there's nothing stopping you from treating other people like crap. Because that's the biggest awareness you have, is other people. But how would you interact with people if you knew He was standing right here? Would we drive down the street and somebody cuts us off and roll down the window and tell them they're number one out the window? Probably not. Y'all don't do that, I know. Yeah, you know, I know y'all don't do that. But you know, you've seen some stuff. I mean, you know people, right? Nobody in here, but you know people that they act this way. It's because they have a very low awareness of God. But as a son or a daughter, you're supposed to live at a very high awareness because you're living in Him, and He's right there with you everywhere you are. I said Colossians 2. Actually, what I meant to say was, I can't even read my own writing, is I believe it's, let's check Colossians 3 real quick. Actually, it is Colossians 2. Notice what he says here in Colossians 2. He says, Be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Verse 2. Be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in, and we're back to talking about the revelation that he has. We want what's in his mind. Right? You know, a number of weeks ago when I told you what he spoke to me about, the reason that he puts you into and wants you to experience the fullness of him is because he wants to experience the fullness of you. But so many of us, we don't have a very high God awareness, so he really never gets to see you enjoy the fullness of him, and therefore the flip side of that is he never gets to enjoy the fullness of you, because the fullness of him is designed to melt and dissolve all barriers and protective walls that human beings put up so that we come out of our shells. So here he talks about the fact that he wants to be encouraged, being knit together in love. But I want you to understand this, that before you can be knit together in love, John brings this out in 1 John, before you can be knit together in love with people horizontally, you got to be knit together in love with him. Because the only way you're going to do this horizontally is if you do it vertically first. John said, we know and believe the love that God has for me. You know, I've heard people say, and I'm talking about Christians, I just don't like people. Well, you don't spend any time with him. Because he does. He loves people. What would happen in the body of Christ if all of a sudden all of our reservations, all of our little walls, all of our little, well, I'm not going to associate with that person because they look a certain way. What if all that went away? Because we spent so much time with him, we didn't have any of those I don't do's. What would happen? We would influence a city for the kingdom of God, and they would be running to Jesus. Because they, in their minds, they are to think, well, you're a Christian, you don't like me. I'm not the right orientation, or I wear a gauge, or I have a tattoo, or I wear the wrong clothes, or I listen to the wrong kind of music, or I have a satanic bumper sticker on my car. They already think that the church doesn't want anything to do with them. But what would happen if we spent so much time with him that the church didn't have those kind of reservations? They didn't have those kind of thought processes. They weren't trying to separate themselves out and be separate from them, but they were fully absorbed in the mind of our daddy. And we just love people. I don't care what, you know, let's be honest with it. Let's just be honest about it. Most of the time, the reason the church runs away and separates from people that are, quote, different is because it's all about their own personal comfort. That's the only reason. Don't make it spiritual, just save it. Don't even, again, there's nobody in here, but you know people. That's the only reason they won't associate, is because it's not comfortable personally for them. I wonder if it was comfortable for Jesus to go to the cross. I don't think so. You know, I've never had my beard pulled out, but I mean, I imagine it hurts pretty good. I've never had 100 guys line up and slap me in the face and spit in my face, and then I got to deal with all that after 100. So he says to be knit together in love. So let's just be knit together with him first. 1 Thessalonians 1:3-4 says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. I've read that before. But what I want you to notice is Paul had a very high awareness of his presence. Did you notice that? he had very high awareness of it, because and it affected the way he looked at as many, even as goofed up as some of these churches were. I mean, the Corinthian church, he says, man, you guys are walking like natural men. But he still called them saints. You ever notice that in all of his letters? He still spoke over them what Daddy says about them. So, 2 Thessalonians 3:5, he says, may the Lord direct your heart into his love and into the steadfastness of Christ. And I love this one, 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13. May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people that look like you. And for all people that think like you. And for all people that go to the same church as you. No, for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your heart without blame. What do you look like living life among people and you have no bend of blame in your heart towards anybody? What do you look like? I'll tell you what you look like. You're a love bomb. You're fixing to go off any place you are. People will run to you. Have you ever been around people where, you know, they say things and you can tell by their words that there's an innuendo there of guilt towards you? What happens if we don't do that? People run to you because they finally found somebody who's authentic and is not trying to, there's no twistedness in you. But we have to be knit together in love with him. Right? Look at 2 Corinthians 5. You know, we'll close with this. This is a very interesting verse. 2 Corinthians 5. And I know the context of this verse is speaking about, you know, when this whole thing is over with, and, you know, you get your resurrection body and, you know, you're forever in eternity with him. There's no veil. I understand that. But understand this. Because of the fact that he brings that in these verses, he says, he who prepared us for this very purpose, speaking of what I just said, also gave us the Spirit as a pledge. The Holy Spirit, he gave you his Spirit for the down payment of what you're going to fully experience later. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 5 through 9. So understand that whatever's going to be, he gave you the Holy Spirit as a down payment to experience part of what you're going to have later. Does everybody understand that? Okay, so what I'm getting ready to explain to you, there's a degree of truth to this, and I need you to think about it. Because what he's talking about, in the context of what he's talking about, is when this whole thing is over with, and, you know, and Jesus comes back, and you get your resurrection body, and we live forever in eternity with him, and, you know, everything is what it is, and there's no veil, there's no separation between the unseen and the seen. It's just, it's all there. Okay, so that's the context. And he's saying that the Father has prepared you for this very purpose. But he also gave you his Spirit as a down payment. Some translations say pledge. Speaking of right now. So you'll get to experience him right now. But the fullness of it is when you get your resurrection body later. Okay? The fulfillment. Okay. So he goes, he says, he gave us his Spirit as a pledge. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are of good courage, I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Now, here's what I want you to see. Because he's, in the context, he's talking about I'd rather you, quote, present with the Lord, in other words, not here. Right? I'd rather be absent from the body, not here, and with Him, because there's a veil that separates the two, instead of being here and not there. Okay, so right, because right now the environment is we have to live in front of the veil and through what faith reveals to us. Right? We live by what's not seen. Well, at some point, it's all going to be seen. Does that make sense? But I want you to notice this and chew on this. He says, He who prepared us for this very purpose, He gave us His Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, always being of good courage, knowing that while we're at home in the body, you're absent from the Lord. Now, let's change that word body to natural man. And I want you to see a principle here. And I need you, you as a principle in your life, you're the only one qualified to discern where you're at on this. He's saying, if I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. But if I'm present in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. Look at it this way. If I'm at home in my natural man, then I'm absent from Him. Because we live out of our spirits, not out of our natural mans. But if I'm at home with Him, then I'm not paying attention to the impulses and desires and everything of the natural man. He seems like he said something like that in Romans, right? So my question is, as His body, are we more at home with Him or are we more at home with ourselves? Because that will determine how we treat other people. If we're at home with Him, then we treat people the way He would treat people. We talk to people the way He would talk to them. We look at them the way that He would look at them. We say things to them the way that He would say things to them. You know, in fact, if you follow this letter all the way through, which we don't have time to today, but if you follow the letter all the way through, well, I got a little bit of time. Just jump over to chapter 4. This is why he goes into, let's back it up to chapter 3. He says in verse 17, okay, verse 14. He says, beyond all of these things, he just got done mentioning bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against each other, just as the Lord forgave you, you should also forgive them. Verse 14, beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, if you follow his writings in 1 Corinthians 13, he said the characteristics of love is it's patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, it does not brag, it's not arrogant, it doesn't act unbecoming, it doesn't seek its own, it's not provoked. Some translations say it's easily provoked. It does not suffer, take into account wrong that's done to it. It rejoices with the truth, and it bears up under all things. It believes the best of all in all people, one translation says. It hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Well, you can't live there unless you're living with Him. Because this is not you. This is not your natural man. And this is how we'll know where we're actually living most of our life. Are we living out of His love or are we living out our own? The minute when somebody does something wrong, you figure out which love you're living out of. So, he says, beyond all these things, back in Colossians 3, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ, what's the peace of God? The peace of God is, what do we say? It's the picture of that carpentry word where two things are joined together. And it's one joint, and they're one piece. It's the strongest joint in carpentry there is. So if you're the body, You don't, if you're the arm, you don't look down at the hand and say, you're totally messed up. Because it's connected to you. Right? You don't look down at the leg and say, man, you got a bunch of problems. You're dead to me. Well, then you're not walking anywhere. Because you're all connected together. So he says you need to let, you live life, live in him, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. In other words, you don't see missing or broken in people. I'm saying in a bad way. Okay? Are y'all here this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Which you are indeed called into one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's verse 16. And then in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then it goes into individual relationships, husbands and wives, husbands, children with parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your children so that they'll lose heart. See, all of these things are they're not designed to be taken out and taught as a separate teaching on how to control yourself naturally. These are all built on what he's already been saying about living and walking in him. You know, it says, where does it say? I think it's over in Ephesians. It talks about, you know, parents or fathers. Well, it says here in verse 18, Colossians 3, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Everybody ignores that phrase, in the Lord. But all of this is in the Lord. People want to come out of the Lord and come up with their own game plan, their own agendas, and then they want to enforce that on their spouses, on their kids, on whatever, and they want... You know, and they want to be right. If you're not living in the Lord and it's not coming from him, you got zero authority and zero foundation to try to make those verses apply to you. Because all of those individual relationships, and it goes up to talk about your, you know, employees with bosses, all these things. He's saying, live in me, work like you're in me. Work like I'm with you right there next to you working. Don't sit around and only look busy when the boss comes. You know, remember that bumper sticker some years ago? You know, look busy. Jesus is coming back. You know, that's the world's mentality. Well, Christians sometimes work that way. You know, give your boss what, if Jesus was with you working, because he is, then work like that. If you in your relationship with people, Jesus is standing right there, so treat them the way, if he was treating them, treat them that way, because he is right there. Why is this important? Because we need to learn how to live at a high level of God reality. As a son or a daughter, we need to live with a high level of God reality everywhere we are. When we go to the mall next week, you know, we're going to the mall, but I challenge you, don't get so enthralled with all everything else going around and the people sitting in front of you that you totally miss everybody else going on around you. I've seen it. Let me just tell you this. We're not going out just to look at each other's faces. Did you get what I just said? We're going out there because we want to be a part of what's going on in our city. We're going to enjoy each other's company. We're going to have food. We're going to enjoy. But we're not going to be completely oblivious to what's going on around us. You say, well, I don't like that. Tough. This is what life in him is all about. I'm not putting anybody on the spot, but we're just going to learn how to live there, right? You know, if he lays something on your heart and he's, you know, you see somebody, at least you noticed. And then if he tells you to do anything, then we just go from there. But you know, I'd like to eat out 7 days a week. Because then I'm out there we're out there all the time. You know, no agenda. We're just going to be out there and we're going to enjoy life, enjoy the city, enjoy the restaurants. And what does he want to do? Because that's what he wants to do with us. Did you get anything out of this? Praise the Lord. Go ahead and stand up. Just raise your hands to heaven. Say this, Father, I love you. Thank you for increasing my God awareness. Thank you for letting me see people the way you see them. Holy Spirit, I give you full rein to direct me, to correct me. And I thank you for it. And I ask you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.